Okay, well, God bless you all. I'm so blessed to be able to be with you, be with believers that love God. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a new verse we've never seen before. No. But I want to share with you in light of my topic for today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that we know that's God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, how to believe rightly, for reproof, pointing out where you're not believing rightly, and for correction, bringing you back to right believing, which is instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the man who speaks for God, may be perfect, truly perfected unto all good works. So this is God's word. It's God-breathed. God gave it to us as the standard. He gave it to us so we know what to believe. And then when we sort of get off a little bit, he gave us some reproof to get us back to where we ought to be. And then he gave us some correction also to get us further back to where we ought to be. But how terrific that is. And look at John, Gospel of John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people like to quote, ye shall know the truth, then the truth shall make you free, so learn algebra. No, no, no. First of all, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were to continue in the word, in God's word, you know, it says my word. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that in a minute. And then they became disciples, disciplined ones. And then after that it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But how wonderful it is that God has given us his word so we can know the truth, and the truth can make us free. Look at Acts 17. Acts 17, 11. Acts 17, 11. And it says, and now I'm no more in the world. Is that right?
No, 17, 11.
Acts. I'm in John, no wonder. I was in John.
Verse.
Wow, yeah. Gee. Okay, 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Wow, and those in Thessalonica were rather noble. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Wow, they searched the scriptures daily. And the scriptures are God-breathed. It's God's word. You know, if you continue in the word, you'll be free indeed, right? Great stuff, great stuff. Look at chapter 17, verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that would be saved. He was, the Apostle Paul, was communicating to them daily. He was communicating to them, sharing that word. What a great example. He was making it possible for them to know the word, and he was sharing with them on a daily basis, and he was sharing what? He was sharing God's word. Now, in light of all that, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And let's look at verse 19. Matthew 28:19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And this word teach means to make disciples of. You know, so like in that John record we saw, you know, you become a disciple indeed. You know, you become a disciple, a disciplined one. Baptizing them, go to all these people that you're making disciples of, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, these people in the first century, these apostles heard that command. They were told to do that, according to this. But they never once carried it out. There's no record of them baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They baptized in the name of the Lord. They baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They baptized, you know, as a different thing from what this says. So in action, we see this as a contradiction in the actions that they carried out. Why wouldn't they do this if they were told to do that? Okay, well, in 325 AD, there was a council. It was called the Council of Nicaea. It was... It took place with representatives from the various churches, the various congregations. They got together and they decided about whether or not to put this in the Bible. Even though there was no record of this ever happening during the first century, these people wanted to add it. And the reason they wanted to add it is because the pagan religions had a triune God, a three-part God, and they thought, evidently, that if they could put this into the doctrine, they would do a better job of bringing people in. Now this is something that Christians have done, and it's compromising God's word. You know, to say, if we can just say this, I think we'll get more people to come to fellowship. You know, if we can just adjust it this way or that way, then we'll get more people. You know, that we'll be in mainstream of what people are thinking. You know, we'll be right on it from whose point of view? Their point of view. So the Nicene Creed came out of that, and the Nicene Creed includes these words. And these words were added to the Bible at that time. Now, how can I make a bold statement like that? Well, let me tell you. One of the church fathers, who I think he died, let's see, I got it written in here, around 340 AD. So he was influenced by this Nicene Creed. And before 325 AD, he quoted this section, this verse, and did not include those words 18 times. No time prior to 325 did he use these words? When he in anything that he wrote, and he's in history, he's well known as a Christian, one of the fathers, the early fathers of the Christian church. 18 times before 325, he quoted this without including these words. Now, either he was not as good of a scholar as we thought he was, or there's something wrong with including these words in the scriptures. But after 325 AD, he quoted this three times and included it. Included these words. So something happened there. Remember back in Genesis, add a word, change a word, delete a word. Do you still have the word?
No.
No, you don't have the word Namor. You know, you got something else. So, and the audacity of these people to corrupt the Word of God this way is unbelievable. You know, Dr. Werwell put out this book. It's called Jesus Christ is Not God. And tremendous book. I thought when that book came out, and I don't know, I was there when it was first published, and we distributed at the Ohio LEM meeting in Meerschaum Auditorium at Ohio State University. And, you know, I thought this is going to change Christianity forever. Because in that book, he documented what the truth was and documented things like Eusebius. There are other things like that we could point out. But, and I really thought this would change Christianity forever. Raised in the church, I always said the Apostles' Creed, and that included this. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. It's just unbelievable that would happen. What we try to follow and what we try to believe is what I call first century Christianity. The church epistles were all written in the first century, you know, because first century Christianity doesn't have things like that. It's 325 AD before this corruption comes in. But, you know, I was thinking, well, I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna see if co-equal and co-eternal is used anywhere in the Bible. It's not. You know, I used what is it, Blue Bible or something?
Blue Letter Bible.
I used Blue Letter Bible, King James Version. Never showed up. But look at Numbers 23. Leviticus. Numbers. I gotta go further back here. Numbers 23. Verse 19. Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should what? Lie. God is not a man. Jesus Christ was a man. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was called the Son of Man. There's no place where God is called the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, hath God said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, that's our God. John 4:24, you all know this by heart. God is what?
Spirit.
God is spirit. look at 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let's see. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. No. Every spirit that confesseth, oh yeah, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of what? God. Jesus Christ is a man. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. God is spirit. And Jesus Christ is God's son. While we're here in 1 John, look at chapter 4, verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. No man has seen God at any time. Did they see Jesus Christ? Yes. Yes, they did. Okay, that's interesting, isn't it? All right, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right?
Yes.
Okay, Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Jesus Christ was born. There's no record of how God got here or anything else. He was just here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ was born. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I mean, it's all the way through here. Different stuff like this. John chapter 1. No man hath seen God at any time. Verse 18. The only begotten Son. So if you're begotten, you have a beginning. With God, there's no beginning and no end. With Jesus Christ, there's a beginning. He was begotten. He was born. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus Christ declared God, but that didn't make Jesus Christ God. Let's see. Oh, shoot. What do we want to look at? There's so much. Look at John chapter 5, since we're here in John. Chapter 5. Verse 30. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I of mine own self can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. They're two different wills. He didn't say, I seek my own will and my own will. No, he didn't seek, he was not God. He was not part of God. He was what? The Son of God. And I thought about this because I was so proud of Ruby. One of her friends was trying to tell her that, you know, about the Trinity. And she said, that is not right. Jesus Christ is not God. Can you? And she, so her friend got her uncle on the phone, who's a preacher. And so Ruby got her dad on the phone, who's a preacher. We had quite a good conversation. But he finally just hung up on me. he really had a hang up with the Trinity. That's why he hung up. Okay. Well, anyway, I use that blue letter Bible again, you know, on my phone. Here's my phone. Here's proof. And I looked up God the Father 142 times in the King James Version. All right, God the Son. No times in the King James Version are those three words put together. Okay, God the Son. None. No times. There are 203 times when those words appear in verses, scriptures, but they're not saying God the Son. They're saying Jesus is the Son of God, you know, things like that. Here, let me look at a couple of these with you. We already looked at Numbers 23. Let's look at Numbers 22 just for fun. Numbers 22. Verse 10. It says, "And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying." Well, it's got God the Son in there. But it doesn't say God the Son. It said God said to somebody that was a son of somebody. Okay, so that's not, you know, Jesus. It doesn't say God the Son. Look at John. I should have told you to keep your finger in John. I did. But John 1:18 again. Did I go over that? I think I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And so, you know, the words God and thee and Son are in here, but it's definitely not saying Jesus Christ is God the Son. John 6:69. I'm trying to find it. Look at these. Some of these 203, and by the way, I went through all of these. Tedious. John 6:69. It says, "And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." So that doesn't say he's God the Son. It's the Son of the living God. Okay, let's chapter 10 of John. Chapter 36. John 10:36. "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." They thought it was blasphemy for him to say he was the Son of God. For him to say he was the Son of God. Was he the Son of God?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Was he God the Son?
No.
All right. Whew. I'm doing pretty good then. All right. Second John. And I don't mean to be picking on John, but 2 John chapter 1. Chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verse 3, it says, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father." There's a God the Father. "And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father." in truth and love. Doesn't say God the Son. It says the Son of the Father. This, you know, other places said the Son of God. All right, now, how about God the Holy Spirit? Those words, God the Holy Spirit. Well, they're actually four verses. But God, we've already seen that God is Spirit, right? We've seen that God is Spirit. And that he's holy, but we didn't look at that, but in Isaiah 1:6 or somewhere, I don't know, I forget now. It's in Isaiah. It says holy, 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 that God is not just holy, but he is holy, holy, holy. And holy means unmixed with any foreign thing. God is spirit, he's unmixed spirit. He's not a corrupted form of spirit. His spirit is pure can be. And so God is holy and God is spirit. So God is Holy Spirit. So they got two of them right. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Those are the same. But God the Son is not the same. You know, okay, so what am I looking at? Let's go to, let's see, I think this is Daniel 4:8. Let's go to Daniel. Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel 4. Daniel 4:8. There's a scripture I need to cover, I keep not covering. Okay, I'm going to circle it. Daniel 4:8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, lowercase God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him, I told the dream, saying. Well, that's got God, and it's got holy, and it's got spirit in it. But that's not saying God's Holy Spirit, is it? No. No. So, all right, we're down to three. I'm trying to find this stuff now. 1 Corinthians 12:3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God the Holy Spirit. 12:3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can really say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And this is not talking about, they're saying Jesus is the Lord by God. They're not speaking by God. They're speaking by the gift of Holy Spirit. You know, the new birth is called the gift of, of Holy Spirit. And it's lowercase h, lowercase s. God gives us spirit at the new birth, and it's called Holy Spirit. So we're down to two. You know, because this doesn't really say God the Holy Spirit here. All right, let's try Ephesians 4:3. 4:30, Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, that does say Holy Spirit of God. So we'll give them that. All right, Revelation 21:10. Revelation 21, verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So holy and spirit and God are all in there, but it doesn't say God the Holy Spirit. So really, we only have one that comes close to saying God the Holy Spirit. And that one says the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't say God the Holy Spirit. But isn't that interesting? So they came up with God the Father, absolutely. God the Son, no. God the Holy Spirit, yes. God is holy and God is spirit, but it isn't referred to that way in the Bible as God the Holy Spirit. I mean, just one verse, and we had to really work at it to get that verse to say it. And God is holy and God is spirit. Now look at Luke 24. This is the one I skipped over for some reason. Maybe it'll have more impact now. Luke 24. This one we looked at the other day. That sort of got me thinking about this. Luke 24, verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Jesus Christ was saying that. God is spirit. Jesus Christ was born. He was called the Son of Man. You know, he was a man. He wasn't God. He had to work with his mind to not do his will, but God's will. Two different wills. Jesus Christ is not God. And to say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is not right. It was added at that church council in 325 AD. And the other thing about that council, historically, the representatives from the Eastern Church that spoke Aramaic did not get to the council until it was over and those decisions were already made. They were not allowed to have input. They were not allowed to decide about this. Those that spoke Greek and those that spoke Latin were there, but not the ones that spoke Aramaic. And the Eastern Church always emphasized there's one God. There's only one God. And so these other Christians were influenced by the things around them. They compromised to try to increase their outreach, to try to increase their appeal. You know, that's not what we want to do, and that's not what we do. So people say we're dogmatic. Well, yes, we are. People say we're not flexible. No, we aren't. It's the word, and nothing but the word to us. And all of you all know this stuff, but I thought it might bless you to go over it again, because it's the truth of God's word that we're concerned about, and we want to share the truth of God's word with God's people. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful that we have your word, this God-breathed word that we can learn and put in our hearts and minds so that we can walk according to your will, so that we can see what you accomplished for us and in us by way of your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for continuing to bless our lives, to watch over us and guide our steps. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.